top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrall. Here are the headlines. Owner of Ace Engineering Limited and executive member of the Dominica Business Forum, Anthony LeBlanc, says voter ID cards must not only be used for voting, but also for voter registration. The St. Lucia Fisher Folk Society Limited and its member cooperatives have launched a cleanup campaign of several fish landing sites around the island. And U.S. President Joe Biden will sell voters on the economic benefits of the $973 billion infrastructure package in Wisconsin Tuesday and boost the bipartisan agreement held together by promises of millions of new jobs. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments. West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. First up in the news, one of the World Creole Music Festival initiators, former Minister of Finance and owner of AC Shillingford and Company, Julius Timothy, adds that the World Creole Music Festival project was significant to the economy of Dominica and provided an overview of what he experienced while he served as finance minister. He revealed that engaging the French neighboring islands to participate in Dominica's WCMF events was one of the best decisions agreed upon by the original Dominica Festivals Commission.
It was very important because, for instance, what we looked at in what Dominica benefiting from World Creole Music Festival was not just the action on the station. On stage, mm-hmm. but Dominica as a tourism destination and the business opportunities, so that even if we were not able to make money the first year, for instance, we could not make money, but the ministers and Dominicans generally realized the economic boost we're getting from this World Creole Music Festival. So it just had to have been.
Timothy also revealed that the executive of the committee always executed the event in ways which would financially benefit Dominicans throughout the tourism sector.
For instance, one of the things we had decided, we had looked at, we were thinking of privatizing.
Yeah.
Instead, because you know, it's not government's business to run those things. We were thinking of privatizing it. Mm-hmm. And even if initially, government would have had to give a subvention to let them run it, not government
running it,
operating the World Creole Music Festival. It was not meant to be that way. We always looked at the private sector. That's one thing with the UWP government at the time. We always looked how we can get the citizens involved.
One of the WCMF initiators, former finance minister and owner of AC Shillingford and Company Limited, Julius Timothy, owner of Ace Engineering Limited and executive member of the DBF, Anthony LeBlanc, expresses the need for implementation of the house-to-house verification exercise to clean up the voters list and registration reform, ensuring that IDs are created not only for voting, but to eliminate multiple registration fraud, which is highly suspected to have occurred in the 2019 general elections in Dominica.
But we also have an issue with the registration, and we need registration reform. While we speak about having an ID to vote, there is currently no requirement to have an ID to register. So before the last election, what we had is the registration officer being barraged with persons to register. There's no mechanism to identify those persons. Somebody come and say, this person is my constituency. I know the person saying that, so I believe them. I register the person. And we had the issue of double registration. We had the issue of not, well, currently there is no means to check whether that person is registered in Casigos that is coming to register in Trafalgar. So we have this issue of multiple registration going on as well. And besides not being able to identify that John Brong is John Brong, who is registering, we have the issue that there is no protocol. The registering officer has nothing to go by where he can reject somebody or not. Or there's not adequate in these modern times.
LeBlanc laments to the Dominican public that the foolish dependency on indelible ink for voting is ridiculous, taking into consideration the anti-election fraud systems adopted by other democratic countries globally in recent years.
The time limit for indelible ink has gone. But there's the issue of whether it should be a national ID card or voter ID card. Those things have to be discussed properly, and we have to come not necessarily at a consensus, but we have to do the right thing. Does the commission really have power over a national ID card? And should the commission have power over a national ID card? And then we have to decide about biometrics. The commission position before the last election is that it wanted comprehensive biometrics. Basically, the commission is saying everything that can identify you, it wants. But the passport that we have to go to the US, to go to Barbados, only has a photograph. Why do we want the extensive biometrics as an identification requirement? At the end of the day, there have been challenges in the Caribbean about this comprehensive biometrics. We have had the experience of Jamaica. And are we going to have a hiccup on election day because somebody have put an injunction in the courts and say that I don't agree that that should be used to identify me?
Owner of Ace Engineering and executive member of the Dominica Business Forum, Anthony LeBlanc. This is Q95 News. Hospital Medical Director Ruby Blanc says the new ophthalmology wing at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital is gearing up to begin seeing patients as soon as next week. Dr. Ruby Blanc, speaking at yesterday's press conference at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, announced a potential screening solution to identify diabetic retinopathy in patients with diabetes. The ophthalmology department of the Dominica China Friendship Hospital and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine collaborated in conducting research into the use of this technology. She says many patients are waiting for their opportunity to be seen or treated due to the present circumstance, but the staff is optimistic about the days ahead.
As you may be aware, as part of the hospital project, we have an entirely new ophthalmology wing with its own patient examinations rooms and its own operating theater. The final stages of internal works are being completed, and we project that if things remain on track, that as early as next week, we will be able to begin seeing patients in the new unit. The management of the hospital is aware that due to various circumstances, we do have a significant backlog of patients who need to be seen by ophthalmologists and who are also awaiting eye surgery. We are confident, though, that with our dedicated staff and with our new unit providing more and better space, that this backlog will be addressed in a short space of time. We thank our patients and the general public for their patience. We know it has not been an easy time, and we do hope that very soon all will be back on track.
Dr. Ruby encourages diabetics to take the necessary measures to keep themselves healthy and maintain regular check-ins, as it is with a collaborative effort that much can be accomplished.
As we seek to continue to add to and improve services, we are pleased to inform that discussions are ongoing with various training institutions, and that is in the hope of formalizing visiting relationships. And if these relationships and arrangements are successful, in the very near future, we hope to welcome visiting specialists and subspecialists in ophthalmology, that they would come here to Dominica, work alongside with our staff, and provide care to our patients. I cannot miss this opportunity to encourage all diabetics to do all that is needed to keep their blood sugar levels within normal and strongly encourage them to get their yearly eye checks. It is only through this individual effort that we can significantly decrease the effect of diabetic retinopathy in our country. The future of ophthalmology services in Dominica looks bright. So let us all play our own part in taking these services to greater heights.
Hospital medical doctor, Dr. Ruby Blah. In sports news, four primary schools have advanced to the sports division organized primary schools netball semi-finals. They are Sinekou Primary, Roosevelt Douglas Primary, Grand Bay Primary, and Cassie Bruce Primary Schools. The schools advanced to the semis following quarterfinal wins on Friday. The semifinals will be played on Friday, July 2nd. Meantime, results of matches in the 2021 Community Rounders League played on June 27th are as follows. In St. Joseph, the match saw the ACF South Defenders go up against St. Joseph Phoenix. In St. Joe, Phoenix scoring 268-5. Mary Jean Graham scored 89 runs. Verlin Moses, 61 not out. Patricia Luke, 36 runs. And Francis, 22 runs. ACS South Defenders scored 157-6. Clementine Lewis with 34 runs not out. Nadia Damir, 26 runs. Tina Henry, 22 runs. St. Joe Phoenix won by 112 runs. In Bagatelle, the match saw the Qualihoe Big Steppers go up against Bafour Point. Bafour scoring 149-6. Sherb Elize with 34 runs. Andisha Fontaine with 33 runs. Chanella Francis with 22 runs. Qualihoe Big Steppers 132-4. Marie Lockhart with 33 runs, not out. Liarissa Lockhart, 32 runs. And Ange John Baptist, 28 runs. Bafour Point won by 18 runs. In Lindo Park, the match saw Roseau Valley Punishers go up against the Mont Prosper Rainbow Rental Hard Heaters. The Mont Prosper Rainbow Hard Heaters scoring 297-8. Cassia Wade with 93 runs. Erlin Henry, 74 runs. Philomena Frederick, 63 runs. The Roseau Valley Punishers are scoring 186-5. Glenda Bethel, 68 not out. Erlin Hozib, 21 runs. Hazel Peters, 20 runs. The Mount Prosper Rainbow Rental Hard Heaters won by 112 runs. And now in Grand Bay, the Police Sports Club went up against the Mountain Standing Tall team. The Sports Club scored 129-9. Safla McPherson, 44 not out. Yuli Baptist, 23 not out. Lean Luke, 15 runs. The Mounting Standing Tall team scored 131-3. Irma Charles, 3 not out. Carlene Thomas, 25 not out. Naricia Bastion, 19 runs. And Mounting Standing Tall won by 7 wickets. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Dominica Cycling Association President Ronald Charles says last weekend's event was successful. He congratulated the emerging champions who participated in each category.
But we were very happy to know that we had with us Coav Baron. Coav Baron coming from Italy and then emerging the winner. So one would say, you know, the hard work, the practice, the extra mile, one go, you see the results out of it. And in the road race category, we have Mr. Edison Rodet coming in third position. He did it in 2 hours and 48 minutes. And of course, in second place, we have Mr. Levi Baron. He did it in 2 hours and 25 minutes. And of course, the champion, Mr. Coav Baron, in first position, he did it in 2 hours and 10 minutes. And that is from Marboys Bar to Layo 3 times. The other divisions or the other sections we had was the mountain bikes. And of course, the Kalinago territory walk away with all the prize winnings. You have the first position. The second position would be Neil Valmon. Sorry. He did it in about an hour and an hour and a half thereabout. And of course, you have Mr. Emmanuel Lucian in the first position, who did it in 58 minutes. Actually, Neil Valmon did it in an hour, just about an hour. And of course, Emmanuel did it in 50-something minutes. And in our junior category, we have young Brettley Celestin, who again did two rounds, and he did it in 2 hours and 5 minutes.
He says the national race forms part of their mandate and is not the end of the cycling season, with the grand finals set for July.
These were your results. We did not have our women participating this time around. Again, the issues of bike is an issue. And of course, she would have loved to be take part yesterday, but again, her bike was an issue. All in all, let me just inform persons and lovers of cycling. What happened yesterday is a national race. The national race is part of the UCI, which is our international body, mandate that in the month of June, all the federations throughout the world, they selected the month of June to do a race, and it is called your national race. It is not the end of the cycling season. We have a few more races left. We should have about 3 or 4 more races left, and of course the grand finale, which would be sometime in July. And as I inform persons, we are also getting our top athletes ready for the Dominican Republic, where we'll have the Caribbean Championships happening sometime in August.
He says there are many other cyclists who are excited in competing for the crown, and thanked the many persons who made all of this possible.
Let me just say there are other cyclists that are really excited about coming to challenge COAF. We may be very lucky, because there's a Dominican guy who is very much interested. He's from Guadeloupe, the same thing I think Mr. Esprit was talking about. He is interested in coming to take part into one or two races that we have left, or the final race for the season. So again, we want to take this opportunity to thank all those who made it possible, especially the DOC and all our sponsors who came on board. And it was a great event. It was a fantastic turnout. And we're looking forward to more good things to come in cycling.
Dominica Cycling Association President Ronald Charles. Leader of the opposition UWP, Lennox Linton, highlights the significance of leadership by good example in the parliament in relation to health protocols not being followed by Prime Minister Roosevelt Garrett. Linton raised the question of whether or not the Prime Minister of Dominica got quarantined after he returned from visiting Venezuela, a country with a known high active COVID-19 count. Linton highlighted the image being portrayed that the Prime Minister does not need to quarantine because of his position. This, he says, would undermine the progress made thus far.
Was he in quarantine or was he not in quarantine is a legitimate question, and it has not been answered. Did he quarantine on return from Venezuela or did he not quarantine? That now becomes a very important question and consideration in the context of what we are discussing, because none of the individuals that were lauded to the skies this morning for their contribution to the development of the Dominica Hospitals Authority would agree that because you have this Dominica Hospitals Authority and you have the China Friendship Hospital and you will soon have the Marriott Hospital, then it is okay for leaders of this country to set the wrong example of distancing, masking, etc., in defense of COVID, in defense against COVID-19. Because it is the same hospital under the management of the Dominica Hospitals Authority that is going to be overrun should there, God forbid, be an outbreak. Let's get serious in this house.
Leader of the Parliamentary Opposition of Dominica, Lennox Linton. This is Q95 News. Meantime, the opposition leader, Lennox Linton, reiterates his party's views of the DLP administration's involvement in the alleged kidnapping and torturing of Antigua and Barbuda CBI citizen Mehul Choksi, who is being accused by the Indian government of financial crimes that Choksi claims he has not committed.
It also appears that while nobody was supposed to know about this and it was supposed to be done quietly, somehow Loftus-Duran Q95 got wind of it and read out some questions one morning, I think it may have been the Tuesday or the Wednesday morning, to the police authority asking them, well, hey, what's going on? And the fact that it was now out in public sent the players who had their roles well conscripted for them, who had those individuals backtracking and trying to cover. We heard a press release from the Ministry of National Security, the same Ministry of National Security whose minister issued the declaration of a prohibited immigrant on the 25th. On the 27th, the National Security Ministry is indicating in a press release that they're talking to the authorities in Antigua and once the Antiguan citizenship of Mehul Choksi can be confirmed, then he will be returned to Antigua.
Linton asks, how is it that after the numerous pronouncements of Antigua and Barbuda Prime Minister Gaston Brown confirming that Mehul Choksi is an Antigua and Barbuda citizen, that Dominica's authorities are yet to justly confirm and act in accordance with normal procedures of extradition?
Well, the Prime Minister of Antigua has said repeatedly that Mehul Choksi is an Antiguan citizen. The government does not know that. The Minister of National Security does not know that. A month after Choksi arrived in Dominica, notwithstanding the numerous statements by Gaston Brown over the past month indicating that Mehul Choksi is an Antiguan citizen and entitled to constitutional protections and the privileges of rule of law in that country, which is why he was happy that Mehul Choksi was somehow ended up in Dominica, so that it is now Dominica's problem, where he does not enjoy the same rights and privileges in Dominica as he does in Antigua and Barbuda. Classic collaboration, classic collusion of the government in this international scandal.
Leader of the Parliamentary Opposition, Lennox Linton. TPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater warns all concerned that his executive is not directed by anyone and that the union only operates in the interests of public officers in Dominica. Speaking on Q95 FM on Monday, Slater revealed that the executive of the Dominica Public Service Union held an emergency meeting on Monday morning to discuss government's intention to restrict the salaries of public officers to no more than 1 to 2% for the next 12 years. The Skerrit-led DLP administration attempted to sneak in this draconian bill on Monday morning, the same morning that Parliament was to convene. However, the administration's attempt was successfully thwarted by threats of protest by the unions in fear of public unrest and significant reduction of support in the next election. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit capitulated and withdrew the bill.
Unheard of. I have not heard of any government in any democratic country that will come with such draconian measures. And you're not talking about you look at it at the next 2 years or something so. So you engage the unions in negotiations, and you come up with something. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, we meet again and, you know, we discuss. You're talking about 12 years, you know. 12 years is a long time. That is four triennials you're talking about. We cannot accept that. I mean, in Dominica, everything that you do, you are influenced by somebody. Whether you have spoken to somebody or not, you are influenced by somebody. And what some people do is that they allow that to prevent them from doing what they're supposed to do. But with my union, with my executive, we are not like that. We are not driven by anyone. We have intelligent people on my executive. We have people who are very educated, and therefore they need nobody to tell them what to do. We read, dissect things, we understand what it is, and we take the appropriate step. And I'm saying that is not one that we can allow to go through. And it's not just a matter of withdrawing it now.
Thomas Slater also revealed an ulterior motive, clearly explaining why the Skerrit administration attempted to sneak in this dictatorial piece of legislation titled Fiscal Responsibility.
We believe that thing is being done to influence the World Bank and the IMF, who anytime now may be coming to Dominica. And that is the way that the Caribbean governments are going. They come up with all kind of draconian measures so that when the IMF and the World Bank people get down here, they can tell them, look, we have decided to do A, B, C, and D. Public officers cannot be allowed to be used as sacrificial lambs. They are not the one who set up policies, and they are not the one who spend. And if there is any error in spending, they are not the one who should take the blame. I think when you want a country to move forward, when you want things to improve, whatever things you come up with, you discuss it with stakeholders.
EPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater. This is Q95 News. The St. Lucia Fisher Folk Society Limited and its member cooperatives have launched a cleanup campaign of several fish landing sites around the island. The objective of the campaign, which commenced on Friday and leads up to Fishermen's Day on Tuesday, June 29, 2021, is to engender a more proactive approach to garbage disposal and management among fishers and members of the public, organizers of the cleanup say. Open quote, "We are encouraging persons to keep up and keep clean. The benefit is an obvious enhancement of the environment," end of quote, Shalry explained, adding that the waterways would also be cleaner. President Joe Biden will look to sell voters on the economic benefits of the $973 billion infrastructure package while in Wisconsin on Tuesday, hoping to boost the bipartisan agreement, which is held together in large part by the promise of millions of new jobs. Biden will travel to La Crosse, population 52,000, and tour its public transit center, followed by a speech about the infrastructure package announced last week. U.S. President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., also known as Joe Biden, had this to say.
President Biden standing outside the White House today with a very rare announcement in this polarized country. The president standing with Republicans and Democrats by his side saying, "We have a deal on infrastructure." So what does this mean for jobs, for roads, bridges, and the internet? And of course, does the president have the votes? Rachel Scott at the White House tonight.
Do you have a deal?
Today, President Biden walking out of the White House with senators from both parties to announce they've struck an agreement to rebuild the nation's critical infrastructure.
And to answer your direct question, we have a deal.
The president saying this proves Republicans and Democrats can work together.
None of us got what we all that we wanted. I clearly didn't get all I wanted. But this reminds me of the days we used to get an awful lot done up in the United States Congress.
The $1.2 trillion plan includes $579 billion in new spending for things like transportation, roads, bridges, and broadband in rural communities. It also calls for the largest investment in the rail system since Amtrak began. Still, the president says he wanted more.
I asked for 90, got $66 billion. Electric buses, $7.5 billion. I asked for 15, I couldn't get all of it, but we compromised.
U.S. President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. That's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Owner of Ace Engineering Limited, an executive member of the DBF, Anthony LeBlanc, says voter ID cards must not only be used for voting, but also for voter registration. The St. Lucia Fisher Folk Society Limited and its member cooperatives have launched a cleanup campaign of several fish landing sites around the island. And U.S. President Joe Biden will sell voters on the economic benefits of the $973 billion infrastructure package in Wisconsin on Tuesday and boost the bipartisan agreement held together by promises of millions of new jobs. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments Wise Limited.
Top of the hour news, as it happens.